two big things are on the horizon for Illinois' child care system. The first is an increase in the state's minimum wage, which will rise from $8.25 to $15 an hour over the next 6 years. The other is the Trump administration's proposed $1 billion infusion of funding to increase the supply of child care to underserved populations, as first reported this week by NPR. Katie Stelmartis is owner of Katie's Kids Learning Centers in Bloomington Normal. She tells GLT's Ryan Denham the minimum wage increase will impact the child care industry in many ways, especially because it's such an underpaid field already.
The national average is $10.72 for a preschool teacher. That can, you know, of course, vary from a minimum wage closer to that $7 or $8 where many states sit at, upwards to $14 or $15 an hour. But it kind of sits at that middle level of $10.72 is the national average, which is quite low for such an impactful job that our teachers have, which is really setting the foundation for a child's desire to learn and really be successful throughout their schooling and throughout the rest of their life, ultimately.
And what do you think the net effect of such an underpaid profession is? Do you see a lot of churn, or do you hear about a lot of churn in the industry of people, you know, doing it for a couple of years and then moving on to something else?
Unfortunately, it's such a it's a field that has a tremendous amount of turnover, and it's because there's a couple components to it. One is it's underpaid. Hands down, it's underpaid. We have folks that are getting degrees, four-year degrees, that are making $10, $11, $12 an hour, and it's just, it doesn't seem feasible to many individuals who are trying to raise a family on their own as well. So it's a very underpaid field, so we do see a lot of turnover, but we also see a lack of training for individuals in our field, and yet the state requirements are requiring more, but the cost, of course, is, you know, increasing as well. So we're in a good place that we are providing more training, and we're identifying that that people need that. Unfortunately, that, of course, costs more money. And our source of income is our families, so that directly affects them. You get what you pay for, and that's very true. Quality care costs a lot of money. Quality education is not cheap. You are going to pay a premium for that. And it really is just that, an investment in the future of that child.
Can you expand on what you see from the families who you have coming in, bringing their kids every day? You know, the types of jobs they work and the financial strain that they're under, you know, to make it all work, to pay their mortgage, to pay their child care, make everything else work. How do you see this playing out for them?
I think it's going to get really interesting. Unfortunately, I don't know how much that minimum wage is going to affect those who were already making $15 or more an hour. Unfortunately, I see that their child care cost is going to go up and their income may not go up. And so I don't know how this is actually going to work for families.
Oh, so I see. You're describing a situation where, you know, employees at child care centers would maybe get bumped up to a $15 wage, and then that would increase the cost of child care. But then they themselves are not getting a raise because they are already making above that.
Correct.
Okay,
correct. And so that's, I think that, I would think it may be a fear for a lot of that middle class, and many of our families fall into that middle class kind of level. And I don't know how that's going to affect them. Does that mean that those that were making $20 an hour are going to make $27.25 an hour? Do we just increase everybody that was already above 15 an additional $7 or so an hour? Or are we only providing that increase to the working class individuals? So I'd be curious how that's going to play out for our families, because if they're not actually making more income, it's going to be very challenging for them to be able to afford childcare if there's not some sort of assistance with that. Now, my hope is to see that our state or our country would embrace a more equalized opportunity for individuals to seek out quality care and maybe not have to pay the high price that it is. But I think we'd have to change an awful lot of things to make that happen. Although we see many other countries doing it, so we know that it's certainly feasible and their education rates are much higher than the United States.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm in studio with Katie Stelmartis, owner of Katie's Kids Learning Center here in Bloomington Normal. We're talking today about all, you know, sorts of parenting and early childhood related stuff. Wanted to pivot to this, though. My kids are 5 years old and 3 years old. The five-year-old recently started asking me questions and talking about, like, race and, like, the ethnicity of her friends at school. And I kind of felt paralyzed by it a little bit. I didn't know what to say to move the conversation along in sort of a productive way. And it sort of dovetails with this new NPR podcast, Life Kit, which just did an episode about like having difficult conversations with your kids. And it focused on the death of a loved one and how to talk to kids about that. So I want to know what your approach to that is at Katie's Kids. I mean, imagine your staff is routinely asked all sorts of weighty questions from kids, and there's got to be some sort of like standard approach to that. But can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, we love those questions. Sometimes we defer them to parents. Sorry. No, generally our approach is really to be very honest with children that we're all different, and we all have different shades of our skin. We all have different shapes to our face. We all have different hair. We all have different colored eyes. And we're all different, and we're all similar in very many ways as well. We're all children. We all like to go outside. We like to go for walks. We, you know, we're very, very much alike, but yet we're all very different. So just really addressing it face on. Yes, your skin's a little bit different from mine. And talking about that very comfortably and confidently with a child, I think, is the most important thing.
So you've got two kids yourself. They're ages 3 and 5, so like mine. What are some of those difficult questions that you've been asked and difficult topics that have come up in your household? And we'll see how they compare to ours.
We've had two different topics that have been pretty hot in our house. Is death and cancer. Two huge topics that you think, oh my gosh, how can you begin to have a conversation like that with a kid? And really, I was even speaking with my husband earlier today about this, and we've been very honest with our children. We've just very much presented it as, your fish died, buddy, and we're going to get you a new one. And he went to fishy heaven. So that was one of our first experiences. Mom, what happened to my fish? Was, well, buddy, not all fish live, and fish don't live very long. We don't know how old he was when we got him. And, well, he went on to fishy heaven. And we just, thank goodness he was young enough that he didn't ask any further questions past that. But more than that, we really have had some very deep conversations. My father's deceased as well as my husband's father. And so we talk about our grandfathers or their grandfathers, pardon me, or our fathers. We go to the cemetery, and it's just been a very normal part of their life, actually, from the very beginning. We've just embraced it as this is part of life, is death. Something my grandmother helped me with as well as a young person is it's all a part of it, and nobody's exempt from it. We don't want to lessen what it is, and we want to be very honest with our emotions when it comes to death, because every person handles death differently and on a different time frame. So for us, we've more recently had a great-grandfather pass away, and my son was 3 at the time, so a little bit older and a little bit more able to understand kind of what was happening, and we asked some questions, you know, how do you feel about this? Would you like to come to the funeral? Kind of describing what a funeral looks like or what that entails, because he did not as well remember my grandmother's funeral that he also attended. He was a bit younger. So really just talking about it, being very open, very honest, and really paying attention to your child and seeing how are they coping with it? Do they need to read books about it? Do they need to draw pictures? Do they simply just not want to talk about it, or do they want to talk about it? My son, it's very cute, we'll go to the cemetery and he goes, well, where's Papa JD? And I said, well, Papa JD's in heaven. And he goes, well, why do we come here? And I said, well, this is where his body is, but his soul is in heaven. And for a little guy, it 5 years old now. He understands it as best as a 5-year-old can understand it. And this may be a very different conversation with a child that's 8 years old or just a different child, period. You know, the way that children interpret these things vary from one to the next. So really just respecting them and listening to them, I think, is the most important thing, and honoring how they approach the situation. And it's okay to cry in front of them. It's okay to talk about it. And I think be using very concrete words, Grandpa died. He fell down the stairs, he hurt his head, and Grandpa died. Grandpa went to heaven. We will see him again one day.
That gets into the euphemism question I wanted to ask, yeah. is what kinds of words, how blunt to be? Because you have the option, it's the whole thing of like, oh, the dog went to the farm, yeah. or the dog escaped the backyard and never came back. It's a euphemism approach to a dog who died. What's your guidance as somebody who knows a lot about early childhood development? How much can kids handle at age 2, 3, 4, 5 when it comes to bluntness?
Kids are so resilient, and they really they thrive on facts. They need concrete aspects in their world all the time. They just, their little brains aren't capable of understanding it the same way that you or I would understand it. So using, you don't ever want to say, oh, well, we put the dog to sleep. Oh, yikes. So when I go to sleep, am I going to die? Or if I get sick, am I going to die? And that's a big one for our family because both grandfathers did die of cancer. And so that's been a hot topic at our house as we have an aunt that was just diagnosed with cancer. And we are strong participants in Relay for Life. And we talked very much about cancer, and cancer can affect anybody and everybody, children, adults, males, females, dogs, you know, humans, everything, and really just kind of being very, very clear with them. And also not giving too, I think the best thing to say is you know your child and you know how much your child can take at a time or how much your child can understand. My conversation with my daughter would look quite different from my conversation with my son, just based upon where they're at in their development and their experiences. My son being five, he does have a little bit more of a memory of my grandmother passing and now grandpa passing and talking about cancer, he gets it a little bit more, whereas my daughter has very little understanding, so we have very short conversations about it. We don't discount it, but we definitely have shorter conversations. My son asks more questions, so I, as safely as I can, try to answer them. Sometimes those are really hard positions for us to be put in as parents, but also as educators, because oftentimes children do come to us with things that weigh on their hearts and on their minds, and not knowing how families approach situations can be challenging from our perspective as educators. But the greatest thing is to really listen and respect them and try to be short, sweet, and to the point.
Katie Stell-Martis, owner of Katie Kids Learning Center here in Bloomington Normal, thanks for popping in today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm Ryan Denham.
You can hear more on this by subscribing to the NPR Life Kit podcast. The series is called Parenting: Difficult Conversations.